Good morning. Lance Tarchione, technical agronomist with DeKalb and Asgrow, here with you on WGIL AM 1400 radio this morning with this week's episode of Ag Talk. Hopefully you've had a good and productive week. Got a little bit of rain on Friday afternoon this week, and nice to see that the wet stuff can still fall from the sky. I'm hoping to get a couple dry days here over the weekend, get dried out enough that I can get in the field, and had planned to fill in some tile trenches this weekend. And when you we did a spring tiling job, and when you put field tile in, you dig, either use a plow to plow it in, or you use a trencher to trench it in, and either way you end up with a big mound of loose soil on top of the ground, and then you have to wait for that soil to settle. And when it settles, you're going to end up with a trench there over where the tile line is, and you've got extra soil on either side of the trench that needs to be pushed into the trench to try to level the field back up. And other than paying for the tile, it's one of the more difficult things of doing field tile, is you have to get your field leveled back up reasonably well after you get that done. And sometimes that's a multi-year process, because those trenches just kind of keep settling for a couple years, and it's hard to get things leveled back up as nice as they were before. So the other thing we've had going on this week, we've started moving grain out of our grain bags, and you might have noticed there's more every year, but more and more people are storing grain temporarily in their fields in the big white plastic bags, and we call those grain bags. And inside, if you didn't realize this, inside those bags is generally somewhere around 12,000 bushel of grain. And you can leave it in that bag for, you know, some people just put it in there for a real short amount of time. Some people leave it in there for 2 or 3 months. I've seen some people leave it in there for 6 months. At some point, the bag is going to be in the way of planting next year's crop. So it's generally fairly short-term storage. You know, we're going to have some that's in the bag until January, and that'll actually be the longest I've ever left any in a bag. But it's been a pretty popular trend here in the last few years. There's more and more people doing them. We bag more grain this year than we ever have. And, you know, some of the reasons you would want to consider doing it, if you have to haul your grain a long distance out of the field at harvest, and there's a shortage of trucks, or there are long lines at the elevator, it can sometimes speed up your harvest, because it's, you know, basically as fast as you can harvest it, you can you can put it in a bag. You can also capture what we call carry in the market. So If you don't have grain bins to store your grain in, or you don't want to pay for commercial storage at the elevator, you really don't have much option other than to deliver your grain at harvest. And, you know, the grain bags allow you to, you know, this year, for example, there's, you know, we've talked before about something called basis. That's a Jim Anderson question. But, you know, basis is basically just the difference between the cash price and the futures price. And sometimes during harvest, the basis gets what they call extremely wide, which is bad or negative, meaning that the cash price is, in the case of soybeans, sometimes 50 or 60 cents less than what the futures price is. And, you know, the only way to get a better price sometimes is to store it for a while and capture either a rally in the market or what they call carry. So this year at times the carry was pretty good, and that means that, let's say the January price is 30 cents higher than the fall price, and so they would say there's 30 cents of carry in the market. And you can, if you've got some place you can put that grain until January, you can get that better price by capturing that carry is the phrase they use. And you know, another reason that that you might want to, you know, put grain in a bag, if you don't have grain bins, you know, if you've got bins, that's a better option. But if you don't have grain bins, they're very expensive to build. And, you know, over time, if you bag grain every year, I guess in theory, eventually you could probably pay for a bin, but it would take you a long time because they're expensive to build. And another advantage is it's harder to get trucks during harvest because, you know, everybody's busy harvesting and moving grain. And so trucks are at a premium. Sometimes they're hard to get, and a lot of trucking businesses charge higher rates for trucks during harvest because the demand is higher. So all those, you know, reasons are good reasons to maybe think about putting grain in a bag. It does increase the total amount of work because you might save some labor during harvest, but, you know, getting it out of the bag later on, it's easier to not have to do that, and you need a special piece of equipment to put it in the bag, which you either have to buy or rent or hire somebody to do for you. You have to buy the bag itself, and then you have to have a different specialized piece of equipment to get it out of the bag. So it's a process. We've liked doing it in general. I don't like all aspects of it, but more pros than cons. So it seems like every year we end up doing a little bit more, and this year we've bagged more than we ever have before, and a lot of other people have too. So there'll be a lot of people getting their grain bags emptied out here in probably mostly in November and December. Also, finally had time to get some data analyzed and did a row spacing study this year in soybeans. And so there's always been an argument in soybeans. Some people love 30-inch row soybeans, and that's, you know, planted with in the same row spacing that most corn is planted in. A lot of people like 15-inch row beans. There's some people on 20-inch row beans. There's still some people that are planting ultra-narrow row beans with what we call a drill rather than a planter. Those are generally 8 or 10-inch rows. And then you can have a 15-inch row planter. You can have a 20-inch row planter. You can have a 30-inch row planter. And if you go back in time, we had 36 and 38 and 40-inch row planters. Not too many of those around anymore. But I had been anxious to dig into this data. Obviously, the soybeans got harvested a while ago, and I just had not had time to dig into the data. We did this actually on three different fields, three different farms, with two different soybean varieties. We had the two different planters going at the same time. So Cole was in what our traditional bean planter is a 15-inch row planter. And a lot of soybeans in this area are planted in 15-inch rows. And then our corn planter is a 30-inch row planter. So we have two different planters. That's not uncommon. You know, some people use the same planter for both crops. Some people have multiple planters for both crops. Kind of depends on how many acres you've got and how much labor you've got and how fast you want to get your crop in the ground. But we've got a 30-inch row planter that we use for corn, 15-inch row planter that we use for soybeans. You can also, you know, use our corn planter to plant soybeans just by, you know, setting it up for soybeans. And so this year, for the first time, we planted soybeans with the planter that generally always plants corn. And we had both planters in the field at the same time. They were set at the same population, same depth. Planting at the exact same time. Cole would plant around, or, you know, a down and a back in the field with our bean planter, which plants 40 feet a swath, so we'd have 80 feet of 15-inch rows. And then I'd plant around with the corn planter, which plants 16 30-inch rows, which is also 40 feet a pass. So we'd have 80 feet of 15-inch row beans, 80 feet of 30-inch row beans, 80 feet of 15-inch row beans, kind of like a, you know, stripe like the U.S. flag across the field. And then when we harvested these fields, I went into our, you know, yield monitor data and carved out 19 different comparisons in the field where I compared the yield of the 15-inch rows right next to the yield of the 30-inch rows. And, you know, you might wonder, you know, why people choose different row spacings. And so historically, what most people would say the advantage of 15-inch rows would be, for years and years, we've said they yield better. They do harvest nicer. It's just a little nicer to cut 15-inch row beans than it is 30-inch row beans. And sometimes you have better weed control as well, because you get a better crop canopy, shades the row better, doesn't let as much sunlight down to the ground. And that's in theory where part of the yield increase is coming from too, because sunlight that's not falling on a soybean leaf is not contributing to yield. So the more sunlight you can capture, in theory, the more yield potential you have. On the flip side, you know, the historical advantages for 30-inch row beans is you can plant faster, because you can plant with a 30-inch row planter that's a wider planter than you can get in a 15-inch row planter. They're easier to pull. It only needs a larger tractor. You can get them wider. Probably could go a little faster with them. you also can save on equipment. So one major way you can save on equipment is you could have one planter for both crops, but even if you want a bean planter and a corn planter, a 30-inch row planter has a lot less parts on it than a 15-inch row planter does. So they're less expensive. Less expensive to maintain, easier to work on, you know, several advantages there. And then they also, generally, you get better emergence of your soybeans out of a 30-inch row, because you've got half as many rows, which means the beans are a lot closer together in the row, which means that when emergence conditions are difficult, the soybeans are closer to each other in the row, and they actually help each other emerge. So 30-inch row soybeans typically emerge better, emerge faster, just get off to a quicker start. So people like one or the other, and everybody has their reasons for why they like the way they do it and why they don't want to do it some other way. So anyway, let's dig into the data a little bit. So first we'll start with the overall averages. So I 19 yield checks in 15-inch rows averaged 88.3, which is some good beans, proud of that. And 19 yield checks in 30-inch row beans averaged 87. So on average, the 15-inch rows yielded 1.3 bushels more, which is not a huge difference, obviously, especially in 87, 88 bushel beans. So both row spacings did really, really well. And we had two different varieties we used. And there really was no difference in the two varieties. The yields of the two varieties were very similar. And the trends of, you know, 15s being slightly better than 30s were fairly similar as well. But there was some variation. So, you know, when you've only got 1.3 bushel of separation, that means they're pretty close. And when things are close, you could go, it's kind of a 50-50 toss-up which one's going to be better. So in 12 of the 19 comparisons, the 15-inch rows were better. And in 7 of the 19 comparisons, the 30-inch rows were better. So in some parts of the field, in some situations, the 30s were actually better. On average, 15s were a little better. The final end result really is it doesn't make much difference. Now, these were early planted soybeans planted before Easter in April. And obviously pretty high yielding. There are scenarios where if you plant later or you're in a lower yield environment, it's going to be harder for the 30-inch rows to compete. But we've seen a trend in recent years with our early planted beans that 30-inch rows are competing very well. I've even seen situations where 30-inch rows have been better. In my situation, the 15s were still slightly better, which makes me feel good because I actually am a little bit of a fan of 15-inch row soybeans, but there really wasn't enough difference to, you know, be a big deal. So we may actually make it kind of a standard practice on our farm that we start the season with both planters planting beans, and then we get the beans knocked out, and then we can be really picky and really patient on what days we want to plant corn. So, little agronomy for you there here this morning, and hopefully that wasn't too boring for you folks that don't raise soybeans, and for you folks who do. Probably nothing I told you is going to make you want to change your row spacing. You're probably still going to like what you like, and what a lot of guys like is they like it the way they do it. Their equipment is set up to do it that way. It would be an expense and a hassle to change, and unless someone presents some, you know, significant reason to make a change, it's kind of a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality. So anyway, Thanksgiving coming up this week. So hopefully you all enjoy that. I am very much looking forward to my awesome daughters getting home from college for a few days and maybe have a little time to hang out with dad. Might go out to dinner, might catch a movie. Don't know who knows, but, looking forward to them being back in the area. And not to neglect my son, I'll look forward to seeing Cole on Thanksgiving too. But I see Cole all the time, so that's a little different situation there. So anyway, hopefully you enjoy your family, enjoy some good food, enjoy some football, enjoy whatever it is you like to enjoy around Thanksgiving, and we'll be back next weekend with another episode of Ag Talk.